Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
In the 24-hour news cycle, you can never assume that anything is off air or off the record. You have to, anything you say, you have to be prepared for it being the front page of tomorrow's paper after it's been on cable television. With Jesse Jackson, I recognize this is not popular to say with a lot of people. I have a great respect for Jesse Jackson, that he was an important figure in paving the way for an Osama bin Laden to appear. But this is one of those things
Wait,
that I think...
Did you hear what Dan Rather just said?
Nobody's going to remember it. It doesn't count for very much.
I stopped the music on Rock and Roll Friday. Did you hear what Dan Rather just said when talking about Jesse Jackson using the N-word on More Snotty Nonsense by Chicks, MSNBC? He just said that he has respect for Jesse Jackson because he paved the way for Osama bin Laden. And that went by without notice by the vermin in the media? Play the music. Play Rock and Roll Friday. I have nothing else to say. You're going to do the show today.
Oh, life could be a dream if I could take you up in paradise up above. If you would tell me I'm the only one that you love. Life could be a dream, sweetheart. Hello, hello.
1-800-449-8255, MichaelSavage.com. So let's stop for a minute. I mentioned to a few intelligent people who think they see the news because they go on to the Drudge Report that the baby killer who was freed by Israel smashed a four-year-old Jewish girl's head against a rock with a rifle butt. And this individual said to me, but I didn't see that on the news. How come it wasn't mentioned on Yahoo News or AOL or CNN or Fox? I said, because they're Yahoo News, AOL, CNN, and Fox. He said, how come I didn't know that this man was a monster who gave the Nazi salute the day later and said he'll go back and kill Jews again? I said, because men like Wolf Blitzer, who's Jewish and an Israeli by birth, are the type that shoveled people into concentration camps to stay alive another day, in my opinion. And if you don't like what I just said, send it to him by email, and I'll debate him on this show. Ask him why he is such a sellout to his own people. Go ahead, ask Wolf Blitzer why he's like that. Ask him who he's appeasing. And who he's appealing to. Explain to me that if the media is supposedly run by Jewish people, why the Jewish-run media, so-called, is so in favor of Hezbollah and baby killers. Can you explain that to me? Arabs buying out collapsing Western banks. Top right, MichaelSavage.com. The purchase of American banks by foreigners has been blocked in the past by security and political considerations. But under George Bush and Nancy Pelosi, everything is for sale. The wealth of a nation, the wealth of a nation is limited. The fact of the matter is, though, never in history has so much wealth be transferred by one nation to so many because of such corruption and such criminality at the highest level. Never in history has so much thievery occurred in a nation without any oversight. Never before in history has there been such collaboration between the two parties in the sacking of a nation. If the Vandals invaded America and tried to sack the nation's wealth, they couldn't have done a better job than this Congress. That's my opinion. Now, I don't need to talk about it anymore. You know, I took yesterday off. I stayed in bed all day. I got to tell you the truth. I didn't even get out of bed. I stayed in bed watching TV. I watched movies. I stayed in bed with the dog. I just was wiped out from the news on Wednesday. What got to me? What got to me? A nation like Israel gives back a terrorist who killed a four-year-old baby. By the way, the baby's mother smothered the two-year-old to death to keep it from crying out so she wouldn't get killed. This monster was given back in exchange for the dead bodies of two soldiers. Did Israel not know they were getting two dead bodies in a coffin? Or were they deceived, and who deceived them? So that means they have no intelligence left? Mossad didn't know that the soldiers were going to be delivered in caskets? Or did they know? And if they did know, it's an even bigger crime against the state of Israel by their own government. Why would they exchange a live terrorist for two dead bodies? Explain that to me. So if they didn't know that they were dead, then they're even in worse shape than I thought. That's number one. Then I saw the banking collapse. I saw the oil can Harrys at the Treasury Department, who engineered the whole thing, in my opinion, telling us they were going to save us. Well, anyway, that's the world we're in today. Dinars for dollars. Dinars for dollars. The Arabs buying out the West. Never before in history has a country been taken over like this without a peep from the people. They're interested in naked women in the media. They're interested in which starlet slept with which star. They're interested in, what do I have to reiterate everything you heard already before? You know, it's exhausting. I don't want to reiterate. Now, here's Dan Rather while talking about Jesse Jackson, who recently used the N-word while talking about Obama, saying that Jesse Jackson paved the way for Osama bin Laden. He's not stopped by the dumb chick on MSNBC. Even if it was a man, it was a dumb chick on MSNBC, particularly the one whose legs shake under the table. He's only wearing a suit on top, but underneath, I hear he wears a skirt. The host didn't even hear him say he paved the way for Osama bin Laden. That's why I'm playing rock and roll on the Savage Nation today. The website is michaelsavage.com. There are other stories. Let's see what they are. Let's see if we have any pretty animal pictures on the bottom. No, not yet. Oh, that's nonsense. You want to see what propaganda is? Let me explain it. We once had a decent newspaper in San Francisco called the San Francisco Chronicle. It was like a B. At its best, it was a good B paper. Then it was taken over by the psycho babblers on the left, the psychos who only push lesbian, gay, communism, left and right. Anything that's anti-Christian, anti-family, anti-police, anti-military made it into the newspaper. And so the circulation's been declining faster than the ratings on MSNBC. Now, the people got fed up with the homosexual mafia in the state. And so they said, we want to put a proposition on the ballot that would ban homosexual marriage by defining marriage as only between a man and a woman. And it, you know, got the right amount of signatures. And it's all set to go on the ballot. So then the homosexual mafia goes to the California Supreme Court, so-called, and says, we don't even want that ballot on the to be voted on because it's illegal. I had said on this show, this is another victory, by the way, for the Savage Nation, that if that dirty, stinking black robe on the California Supreme Court dared eliminate this only sense of direct democracy that we have, I'd bring 10,000 people to the state capital, and I would try to have him arrested on the site. I said that. I said it and I meant it. I'm not going to take the hijacking of my state and my country anymore. And I'd start right here in California. I said I'd get every trucker to close down every road into Sacramento if they did this to us. Well, guess what? The California Supreme Court did the right thing and they said, no, it passed muster. The people can vote. So now after the homosexual mafia working with the Chronicle finds out that the people cannot be overridden so quickly, now they start the propaganda campaign. Here, likely voters oppose marriage initiative. They know that they're going to lose, but they're putting out pure, unadulterated propaganda. Pure, unadulterated propaganda to try to convince the people of the state that gay marriage is good for them. Now, who put this out? Tell me who put this out. Why, it's the Field Poll. Who is the Field Poll? The Field Poll's been wrong about everything I've ever seen them poll. Everything. So they go and they find the people who they want to try to convince other people by. And so they say it's only controversial gay marriage is only controversial to narrow-minded people. You hear this? This is what you believe? Do you believe that? Do you actually believe that? The Field Poll is owned lock, stock, and barrel by the radical left wing in the state. And yet they have the nerve in this newspaper to publish this lie. Likely voters oppose marriage initiative. I can guarantee you this is going to win by a landslide when it hits the ballot. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because the Hispanic voters in this state are opposed to homosexual marriage. They find it to be an abomination. The Hispanic voters who the radical left and the Democrats thought that they could use in every way are family-oriented, they're church-oriented, and they know right from wrong, real from unreal, and they know it's good for their children. I don't want to talk about the topic. I'm just showing you the propaganda I have to deconstruct every day on the, to do this show. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Let us see what else is on michaelsavage.com. There's a nice picture of your friends, who your friend in Lebanon, all of you Jew haters up there. That would include all your liberals. The baby killer the day after being freed by corrupt Olmert is giving the Nazi salute in Hezbollah. So your hero is up there. You should make a poster of him for your college dorms like you do Che Guevara. There's your new hero. After all, anyone who kills a Jewish baby is your hero, isn't it? 1-800-449-825. What's the matter? I can't get under your skin today? How come I can't get under your skin today? What happened to Israel? Should they just pack their little valises and leave and hand over the keys to Abbas? Because it seems to me that if you have an air force and you have tanks and you have a military and you don't use it, and the enemy is gathering strength by the day, and they're saying they're going to invade and kill you, and you do nothing, you have failed as a government. Now, why do I care about Israel? Do I really care about Israel? Should I care about Israel? What does Israel matter to you as an American? Well, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. I remember 20 or some odd, it's longer than that, when I was on the campus at Berkeley getting my doctorate, there were Jew haters on the campus, mainly communist Jews themselves, at tables with Arabs who hated Israel. And they put out brochures hating Israel every day. So I used to argue with them. And I said to the white kids sitting with them, I said, let me ask you a question. If you were to be denied a passport, meaning your passport was taken away, where would you rather wind up without a passport? I gave him a choice: Syria, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, or Israel. And they couldn't answer the question, because to me that's the best definition of where you'd find the most chance for human rights. You'd have no human rights in Egypt, no human rights in Syria, no human rights in Saudi Arabia, but you'd have a chance at human rights in Israel. To me, that's the whole story in a nutshell. Now, admittedly, Israel has been an experiment. It's been a 60-year, some almost 60-year, yeah, 60-year experiment. And you could say it's been a great, great success because they took the desert sands and turned them into a thriving modern nation. Women have equal rights. I don't have to go down the list. Most of you who hate Israel have never been there. I myself was shocked when I first went to Israel in the 70s. I heard that the Arabs were oppressed. I saw Arabs driving across the Allenby Bridge in Mercedes. I said, how could this be? I thought every Arab was on a donkey. I thought they were all poor. I didn't understand it because the mainstream media was so propagandized the picture. I thought everyone in Israel, every Arab in Israel, rather, was on a donkey. I said, how could they be driving over the Allenby Bridge in a Mercedes? How could that be possible? And I judged for myself. Then, as time evolved, I saw Israel becoming more and more corrupt. I saw Sharon, a great general, become nothing but a sellout loser, who personally, I think, eviscerated the nation by giving back the Gaza the Gaza Strip. I had said so on the air. I knew what was coming. And then I see Olmert, a man with life support approval ratings. It's alleged last week by the police in Israel that he stole money from a Holocaust fund, that Olmert stole money from a wounded soldier's fund, that Olmert stole money from a crippled children's fund to go on foreign trips. And the man doesn't go to jail, and the very next day he gives back a man who kills a child for two dead bodies. So I don't even want to talk about Israel. I'm sick of it. I don't care anymore. If they have such an air force and they have such a military and they can't or won't use it, you know what? I can't help them. I'll be right back. Boom, boom, boom. Ooh, Obama's doing his big trip to Europe. Ooh. Ooh, big trip to Europe. Ooh. A real statesman. Tremendous experience. On the job training. What happened to my country? I woke up like Rip Van Savage and it was gone. Charlatans and poseurs everywhere. Pirates, charlatans, and poets. poets, charlatans, pirates. I've been a puppet, a poet, a pauper, a pirate, and a king. What is that song by Frank Sinatra? My Way, My Way. I've been a puppet, a poet, a pauper, a pirate, a pawn, and a king. I'd like to change it to a prawn and a king rather than a – I mean, if they change it from a pawn from pawn to prawn, I could go for the lyrics. Do you have that song, My Way? I've been a puppet,
a puppet, a pauper, a pirate, a poet, a pawn and a king.
See, if he said a prawn and a king, I would go for it. All right, thanks, Frank. He ate a lot of prawns in his days, I can guarantee you. Are you kidding me? Prawns marinara? He didn't eat pawn marinara. I've eaten pawn marinara. Have you ever tried pawns marinara? Not bad. Pawn marinara is a delicious dish. Most people in government serve it regularly. They don't eat it. They serve pawn marinara. So, for example, the two guys on Wall Street who are in federal custody for having manipulated the debacle at Bear Stearns, that's called a pawn marinara dish served by the Treasury Department. That's how it works. So, for example, when you read that Fannie Mae and Fannie Mac were busted out by the board of directors, they'll never go to jail. Someone else will. They'll be served pawn marinara. It won't be Jamie Gorelick. You think she's going to get investigated? There's a woman who pops up continuously, does damage in one department after another, makes a fortune in one position after another, and is never investigated. She does the investigation. She's on the 9/11 commission. The woman who forbade us, well, I say one of the women who gave us 9/11 was Jamie Gorelick, one of Bill Clinton's liberal judges, okay? So now she winds up in the 9/11 commission and makes sure neither Bill Clinton or her are named as one of the principals in having brought about 9/11. Anyway, forget about it. It's too esoteric. Security fears shadow Obama tour. Why is he going? Jordan, Israel, Germany, France, and England. What is he going there for? To make believe he looks good? A photo op. Like I don't know what it is. You don't know what it is. A photo op, a photo op, a photo op, a photo op. And where's McCain? He's in a shoe store giving out Tom McCann. Tomatoes are okay to eat? Oh, my tomatoes are in bloom, I got to tell you. I raised like 4-H for a New York City kid. I got such tomatoes in my yard. It's like a victory garden what I have. I've learned to raise the best tomatoes in the world, and I got peaches. You can't believe what I'm raising.
Savage.
Charlie Brown, he's a clown. That Charlie Brown, he's gonna get
the song. I hate that song. So Not Me. What era was that from? I don't even understand that song. My head's not spinning now. I feel like I can't think. Give me music that I understand so I can get back to the callers here. I decided I'm going to use my homegrown tomatoes to make a special pawn marinara dish. And then I'm going to send it to certain people in the government, courtesy of the Savage Nation. Here is some pawn marinara, and we'll put maybe figurines in the pawn marinara of the people who are being picked on who really are not the guilty ones. They're the little fish. They're the small, little tiny tomatoes. Security fears shadow Obama tour. What's the security fears? What's he going for? This is the best thing that could ever happen to him. Ooh, a security fear. Ooh, you're a real world leader now. Ooh, a real dignified world leader. Now, it's not a photo op. In any other case, it would be a photo op. But for him, it's the Messiah will arrive in Israel. San Francisco, Danielle, welcome to the Savage Nation topic, please.
Dr. Savage, you said a couple days ago, you asked the question, is Israel dead? And you said you believe that it is. And I disagree with you, although I do think it's on heavy life support.
Okay, explain why.
Well, they very much like the United States are heavily affected by liberalism. When they're pushed almost to the brink, was the only time when they'll strike. We were hit several times here in the U.S. before we actually finally struck. There were several times before September 11th. There was the first attack on the World Trade Center. There was the USS Cole.
Correct. But that was Bill Clinton and the cronies who want to take the country back again. The very same people in the background of Obama are the people who made America safe for the jihadis.
But I still don't think that they're a dead nation. I mean, again,
Of course, it's a figure of speech when I say dead nation talking. Of course they're not dead any more than people on death row are actually dead. See, the reference, the allegory, and the reference was to death row. People on death row are not dead, but they're waiting to be executed, aren't they?
They are, but again, that's suggesting that they're just going to sit there and take it till they are dead. I still say that they're, again, on heavy life support, but if push comes to shove, they will strike. And
Let's talk about that. They struck last summer against Hezbollah, who had no Air Force and no tanks, and they got beaten badly. Why did that happen? Why did they get beaten in southern Lebanon?
Because they played the war basically like we're playing the war in Iraq.
That's right. So how are they ever going to win a war if they're playing by the rules that have been devised for them?
Again, just like the United States, their problem is the liberalism that's right on their doorstep, right inside their government.
That's right. It was started by one rabbi from Berkeley, a fanatic psychotic from Berkeley, California, who, by the way, I found out has orchestrated the Arabs to turn against me in CAIR. How do you figure that out? A Jewish guy, a phony rabbi at that, who infected Israel with peace now 30 years ago, is actually working with the CAIR group to undermine me on radio. You like that? How do you like that story?
That doesn't surprise me, because most Jewish people are Democrats for whatever reason. It's almost like they have a suicide complex.
Well, I won't disagree with you on that. Is it guilt for some reason or what?
I don't know. But again, back to Israel. Would you think that they have to be pushed to wake themselves up? I mean, will it come to that point where
What more needs to happen? Several of their coastal southern towns have been hit with rockets repeatedly until this false truce was put in place to permit the enemy to regroup and rearm with weaponry from Iran. They were getting rockets every day after the so-called peace accord signed by this corrupt old man, and they did nothing about it. No, I don't think they're going to react. I personally don't think they're going to react. You know, everyone's saying, oh, boy, you hit him one more time. It's like, you know, it's sad to say. It's like you're a kid in the street, and you get into a shouting match with someone, and the other kid pushes you, and you open your mouth, and you say, you push me one more time, and I'll really haul off in at you. The kid pushes you one more time. Oh, you really got me mad. Now, one more time, I'm warning you, and the guy pushes you again. I'm telling you one more, and the guy pushes you again, and he keeps pushing you back down the street. I'm telling you. So after a while, the guy steps on you and throws you into the gutter. What are they waiting for?
I think they're being waited to be thrown into the gutter. Then they'll react. Again, let's say we had one of our major cities taken out. I think that's the only time we would really, really strike.
I disagree with you. I think that's when the government would introduce martial law and seize weapons from Americans and strike against the citizens themselves and do nothing, because they'd say, we don't know who did it. We have to get a commission, a blue ribbon commission with Jamie Gorelick and Secretary of State Warren Christopher, and a few other distinguished individuals to tell us exactly who struck us when, and the Blue Ribbon Commission will be out in a year from now, but until then, martial law is in place. And anyone who says one word against an Arab nation who may or may not be guilty will be arrested immediately. That's what I think will happen in this country.
I hear what you're saying, but I disagree.
I'm extremely cynical about being protected by my government.
Racism.
You know, I watched the show yesterday, the news yesterday, with Jane Harmon. Jane Harmon is on the Homeland Security Commission. And I saw her. I could not believe what I was watching, a C-SPAN show. She's sitting here talking mainly about getting federal funds for her home district of San Diego to investigate small boats in the harbor. I turned to someone I was sitting with and I said, if you were an Al-Qaeda plant in America watching America News and you saw Jane Harmon on the Homeland Security Commission, would you be afraid of America? And she said, of course not. I'd be doing just what they're doing, which is getting ready for the final push. I mean, this is what I see. I see a nation that is so weak. Our nation is so weak right now. I don't know where the strength is to come from, Daniel. It's why I had to take the day off yesterday. I can't carry this world on my shoulders anymore. I'm not trying to over-dramatize how I feel. I believe every word I say, except when I let you know I don't mean it, when I'm just doing a parody. And the fact is I'm carrying a very heavy burden that's starting to weigh me down. And I feel like, you know the book title Atlas Shrugged? You know what that actually means? Atlas Shrugged and the earth fell off his shoulder. I feel like Atlas Shrugged.
The answer.
Thanks for the call. No, it's having a tremendous effect upon me. I'm on the verge of saying, the heck with it all. I don't need this. I don't want to deal with it anymore. Goodbye. Let someone else deal with it. Look, I started in 1994. I thought I could make a difference. I thought that I could help put conservative people into office. I knew Bush wasn't a conservative. I was never deceived by the Bush family. I was never deceived by the father and the son. But okay, it was a choice in 2000 between him and Gore. I pushed for Bush. I would think that my audience was a big determinant in Bush winning. 2004, it was Bush versus the Frenchman, Kerry. Again, it was a choice that, you know, you had to hold your nose and go for Bush. And I didn't think we'd reach this point that we're in right now. I had no idea that in the last month, well, I did have an idea. What am I talking about? 6 months ago or so, I said, you've seen nothing yet compared to what Bush is going to do to this country in his last 6 months. On the other day when I closed the show, I told you that Bush raised the amount of money going to Africa for so-called AIDS help, because it's not going to go for AIDS victims, from $15 billion to $48 billion. And I said to you, where is the money coming from? Now, he was pushed into this by that wonderful, distinguished, upstanding, honest politician from Delaware, Mr. Biden. As you know, Mr. Biden is an upstanding, honest man. And the only reason Mr. Biden cares so much about AIDS drugs for Africa is not because he's probably lined up some kind of sinecure after he's out of office with the drug company at all. Don't say that at all. You'd be horribly wrong to say that about Mr. Biden. But Bush, to have broke the budget like this and to be sending $48 billion to Africa for AIDS treatment, why doesn't that $48 billion, which, by the way, is going to be printed and devalue our currency even further, why don't they spend $48 billion by giving $100,000 to every cancer patient in America to help defray the costs of treating their cancer? Because we all know that our medical system doesn't pay the 100%. I believe every active cancer patient should get $100,000 from the government instead of blowing $48 billion into Africa. It's on my website. Why would you disagree with me on that? Anyway, I'll take your calls on all of these topics. Connecticut, Rod, welcome to the Savage Nation.
You know what? As a black man that's young, I can totally thank you on that, because you have totally shown me what true racism and prejudice is. And you know what the worst part about it is? The liberals are listening out there saying, oh, this guy's prejudiced. Take away the money from Africa and give it to cancer patients. No, that is true, because we must take care of our country. But this is why I called. I've been listening to you for 3 years, and you have totally changed my life into a positive way. You have made me a better person. But all of the friends that I grew up with, and I grew up in the suburbs, they all think I'm crazy now. They're all liberal. They're all leftist. They think I'm crazy now, and they don't deal with me anymore, because I called them and I told them about you and about your way and how the right-wing, right-way USA ideology is going to save us now. And they all think, oh, I'm psychotic. I've gone off of the deep edge. And I'm looking at myself, and because of you, I've really been able to think, you know what? These people are totally weak and fragile, and they really cannot hold with what is coming to this country.
No, Rod, you're 100% right. Now, look, no man is an island. It's very hard when you lose your group of friends. Either they drop you or you drop them. And it's very hard to march to a different drummer, meaning the drummer inside your own head. The drummer of reason is a very hard band to follow. But, Rod, eventually you'll come to understand that you're not alone. You're really amongst, I don't know, I would say 30 million Americans see the world the way you do, not much more, maybe 10% of the country. But if you exclude the illegal alien and the infants, that's not such a low number, Rod. Yes, if a nation is not for itself, who will be for it? And when a nation is being invaded at every level, both by enemies within and by enemies without, who is going to stand up for this country? It's going to be guys like you, Rod. It's not going to be your punk friends from the suburbs.
Absolutely, sir. Because they now, you know what, one of my friends now, or ex-friends, he had the nerve to say, oh my God, you know who's going to save this country? Obama's the only one that's left. And I'm looking at him like, are you out of your mind or are you asinine? This guy is an abomination of what the presidential candidate should be. And the fact of the matter that people are flocking to this guy like flies to you know what, it just totally disgusts me, and it's deplorable.
Well, here's the thing. Instead of getting, you know, you say to him, what has Obama done that makes him so qualified to be president? That's all you got to ask him. Now, they try to debase McCain, and I'm not a big fan of McCain, as you know, because I think he's just another Republican as opposed to a conservative nationalist. But on the issue of national security, I absolutely 100% I'm in McCain's corner. Here's a guy who flew jets, led a jet squadron, and suffered for 5 years at the hands of the Vietnamese. And yet, General Wesley Clark, of all people, tried to debase his service to this country by saying that, well, getting shot down in an airplane doesn't qualify a man to be the commander-in-chief. So my statement was, Rod, well, let me ask you something. Leading a squadron of naval jets, getting shot down and surviving 5 years in a prison camp, that does not qualify a man to be a commander-in-chief. So what does putting up posters in Chicago on telephone poles qualify you to be? Because as far as I know, that's all Obama's ever done, is he was a community activist. What has he done other than that, Rod?
There is nothing else that this man has done. He is putting up these people are putting up posters in Chicago. To me, that's nothing more than trying to promote a rock concert from an up-and-coming band. It's nothing.
Well, wait, but you know, Rod, you got to look at it this way. He does have military experience in the sense that when you use a staple gun, you do have to kind of pull a trigger and to get that poster up on a telephone pole. So it's sort of like a gun. It's almost like warfare to a liberal. I mean, shooting a staple into a telephone pole, Rod, is the same thing as firing a rocket on an airplane. You know why, Rod? Because to a liberal, liberalism is a mental disorder. Their sorters are out, S-O-R-T-E-R-S. It's a term out of, not homeopathy, but it's a term out of acupuncture. Their sorters are all off. The eye that alters all was said by the great poet of the 19th century, William Blake. The eye that alters all, these are altered people. Their minds are altered. They alter everything they see. They don't see reality. Those of us who do see reality see exactly how bad things are, Rod. By the way, are your friends, you say the suburbs, are they of the same racial background as you are?
No, ironically, I was the only black one. Most of them are white, and a few of them are Hispanic.
But they're all liberal.
Yeah, they're all liberal. Like, they've been self-professed. And I used to think that liberalism was a good thing until you, because I thought that the world issues was portrayed through the news. Ever since I've listened to you in 2005, I don't watch the news anymore. And I'm glad. And I'm glad, because you know why?
Good. You are the only... You know what you're doing to liberals listening to this show? They're going insane. They're going crazy. One of you has escaped their clutches. They don't know what to do. They're saying savages brainwashed the poor black kid in Connecticut. They don't like the fact that you can listen to me. They don't like the fact that you can evaluate for yourself and use your own mind. They don't like the fact that there's freedom of speech. They want to control you. And the only way they can control you is by turning a talk radio off, by turning down websites they don't like, Rod. They can never beat me on ideas themselves. Never. Let someone else define a nation for me right here and right now on this show. Absolutely. 1994, I defined a nation as defined by borders, language, and culture. Can anyone define a nation better than that, Rod?
Absolutely not, sir, because that is the only way our sovereignty and our purity, what is left of it, will be preserved, because you must have sealed borders, totally closed 100%. You must have English as the only language, and you must have American culture. Just like any other country, if I am going to any other land, I have to learn their customs, and I must learn their language if I am to survive, and it is out of respect. The worst disrespect that I see is me going to a gas station around the corner and seeing someone playing a bunch of La Raza music with the Mexican flag inside there speaking Spanish, and I have to sit there, and I stand in line, and I say, speak English, this is America.
Well, don't do much of that alone, Rod. You'll get into trouble. Rod, are you in college?
No, I am out of college.
What are you doing?
Right now, I'm in between jobs. I'm trying to find my way, staying positive, and, you know, pretty much that's that.
What did you study in college?
What's that?
What did you study in college?
I studied psychology in college. I also studied philosophy in college, and I did video editing, sir.
Okay, Rod, I'm going to give you an opportunity right now. I don't know you. You don't know me. We'd have to get to know each other better, but if you'll stay on the line, I'd like my team to get your email address. I want you to email them, and I'll start a correspondence with you. Maybe there's some way I can help you get your first step up in this society. Rod, stay on the air. There is an intelligent man. There is a young man with passion for this country. There is a man who should be helped, and I'm going to see if I can do something for him. I'll be right back.
Savage. Dilililililit.
Yeah.
Dilililililit.
Yeah.
Oh, little girl of mine.
Yeah.
Gee, you sure look fine.
This is Michael Savage on the microphone with my mascot, Teddy the Poodle, on his poodle phone next to me here. Overlooking the world, floating around and looking down upon it. Big band singer Joe Stafford, dead at 90. She sang You Belong to Me. What a great song that was. I remember it to this. Do you have See the Pyramids Along the Nile? I love that song. Oh, my God. She made it to 90 years old. God bless her soul. Slow, but beautiful. Just a few bars, that's all. Oh, what a song. This was so beautiful. Who wrote this?
On a tropic island.
I mean, it was corny but beautiful.
Just
hold on a minute. You see, make believe you're a little kid living in a one-room apartment in a tenement in the Bronx, and think of the lyrics. See the pyramids along the Nile. See the what's the next line? Whatever. I actually could visualize the pyramids along the Nile and wanted to go see them one day. And whatever she, like, you know, see this and that, the tropic isle, I wanted to go to a tropic isle. That's when lyrics could bring you out of yourself. That's what art was. Where's the art today? Where's the art today? I'm going to do that chick. I got a big brick. I'm going to take this brick and I'm going to do that chick. 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 I got this big brick. I'm going to do that chick because I'm a man. I'm going to do that chick. I'm going to do that chick with this big old brick because I'm a man. That lifts you up. That's great. That's just great. Go watch Most Shocking Moments on Court TV. You'll see what it leads to, breaking into stores and killing people. You see what that wonderful music put out by Time Warner, what it's produced in this world, the uplifting of an entire generation. I'm going to take this brick and I'm going to hit you stick. I'm going to break that chick with this big old brick. I'm going to do you. I'm going to do you. I got this brick. I'm going to break that chick. Mr. Warner, Mr. Time Warner, Gulfstream, Treasury Secretary, Wall Street calls, the president invites you, come to the White House, IPO, Mr. Wall Street, Time Warner, I got this brick, I'm going to hit this chick, I got this brick, I'm going to hit this chick.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Out where a friend.
Little Gene Autry to start Rock and Roll Friday.
Where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly Jimson wheat. Back in
Jimson wheat, you see, he's pushing drugs. You didn't even know that. Brokeback Mountain at an early age. Twisted minds in the media. Twisted. Everything they say is not what it is. All right, turn it off already. It's Friday. Here we are. Most people who are listening are listening because they're stuck somewhere in America. They'd rather be somewhere else. They'd rather be on a trip with Obama to Europe. They'd rather be in the Barbados. I don't know, where would they rather? Why would they rather be somewhere else? Why? Where would you rather be? Why? Where do you want to go? I could see going to a beautiful lake, let's say, in wherever, any lake you like. People love lakes in the summer. I used to love lakes when I was a child. I personally today couldn't sit around a lake at a beach chair. I understand the beauty of it. I did it years ago. I can't sit at a lake anymore. I don't know what to do. You sit at a lake and look at it, it's beautiful. So it's beautiful, and the water looks good. It's beautiful, and the water looks good. But my mind right now is on politics. It's all it's on, day and night and night and day, politics and politics and politics. Citigroup posts $2.5 billion loss but beats expectations. Good, so let the boss take another $1 billion for himself and his cronies. Why not? It only lost $2.5 billion. Whoa, that's another $100 million for the CEO, because it only lost $2.5 billion. If it had lost $3 billion, he only would have gotten $80 million. But since it only lost $2.5 billion, he gets $100 million and then goes to work for the Treasury Department for Obama as his reward. What are they stampeding to see this movie with Batman? Why are they going to this? What's wrong with a nation that idiots have to go see a cartoon movie? If it was a drama and uplifting and raised up a mind, you know, something about Madame Curie. I mean, you know, like I'm giving an example. A woman scientist who saves the world. Or it's about a Batman, a comic book? That's who goes to the movies. Who goes to the movies, basically? Who would run to a movie to see Batman? Who? Who would run? People in the film business would go. That's a given. But who would go to it? All right, I see families would take children. That's all. They need to brainwash the child into thinking that they're superheroes. They'll take them to see that. And then the junkie Ledger is in there. That's I guess that's the real reason to see the guy before he was found naked with drugs all over his bedroom in the meatpacking district while he was still acting. I don't get it. It's not my kind of movie. All right, you like it. It's your problem. You know what happened to the media? An Australian came to America, took American citizenship so he could get around the laws which controlled how much media control a foreigner could have. And then the next thing you knew, you were waking up to naked women doing the news and the tabloidization of the news business. And he bought every newspaper that they let him buy, and television station and book company and so-called conservative magazines. And he has his marionettes. And so that's why when you turn on the news, you see a story about a movie that's coming out. You turn on a movie and you see an interlocking corporate directorship pushing something else, another product. You say, well, what's wrong with that? It's his business. You're allowed to do it. There's a lot wrong with it. There used to be controls over the media. I don't mean controls of content. I don't want control over content by the government. I want control over ownership by the government. Too much of the same media companies in too few hands yields less choice for the consumer. And a monopoly situation, which is what we have. We have more and more examples of the media monopoly. And that's why certain topics are discussed, certain topics are not discussed. And that's why truth is suffering. You understand there's truth? And there are consequences. There's truth and consequences. Right now we have the consequences of the monopoly in the media. Anyway, it's too big a topic. I understand that, and I don't want to deal with it. It's too much. Now the cell phone's ringing again in the middle of a show. I won't take it. One of these days, I'm going to answer the phone in the air and see who's calling me. They make believe they don't know what I do for a living. That's like asking me to make the barbecue a little more well done and come out. 1-800-449-8255. Bush agrees to horizon on Iraq troop cuts. As soon as he's out, that's all. You can do what you want. I've done my job. I did what they asked me to. I got oil up. I got the war profiteers, their money back. Now I can leave. I can go now and do a library. They're going to help me build a big library. There'll be all of my famous sayings in a certain part of the Bush library. Why do they need libraries? Can anyone explain to me when this began, the presidential library? What's in a library? Would you ever take time out to go to a presidential library, and for what reason? What would you see there? It's not as good as Ripley's Believe It or Not. What could be there? I don't get it. Why would anyone, what yokel would go to a presidential library? And there's big money in these presidential libraries. This library, that library. I've never been to one. I never would want to go to one. Why would I go to a presidential library? Why is there so much money in this? What's in a presidential library that I want to see? And I tell you the truth, if they had the blue dress in Bill Clinton's presidential library and it was in a rotating in the center exhibit with a spotlight, I'd go just for comic relief, the blue dress. Where is Monica Lewinsky now that we don't need her, by the way? She was putting out handbags and clothing for overweight nymphos, a whole line of clothing for overweight nymphos, knee pads, the whole thing. And where is she today? Don't tell me she's working for News Corporation somewhere. Come on. I don't believe that. Play some rock and roll here. I'm not going anywhere with this. There's no news I'm interested in. I don't want to get worked up again. Drinking what happened when I... Turn it off. No, I don't like this song, but B, whatever happened to Iran as a threat to us? Last week, as near as last week, they were threatening to blow Israel off the map. Now we're opening up a diplomatic presence in Iran. 2 months ago, North Korea was on the bad guy list. And now all of a sudden, we're doing business with North Korea. 2 weeks ago, the economy was collapsing. And now Bush wrote a check for $48 billion with the great Senator Biden. For Africa now, not for cancer patients in America, nor even for AIDS patients in America. No, for AIDS patients in Africa on top of it all. I mean, I could say give $100,000 to every cancer patient in America. It might be $48 billion. But why Africa? Can anyone justify this for me? And where's the money coming from, number two? And what is it going to do to the value of your dollar, number three? And number four, don't call me on it, because I gave you the answer by asking the question. McCain and Obama hedge on costly new Marine One. What, are they arguing now over the cost of a helicopter? What's the difference what it costs? What is the difference what it costs? They write a check for it anyway, your money. John McCain, Barry, and vowed to reform the nation's defense procurement for electric, each is one willing to take a firm stand against the skyrocketing cost of a Plum White House parked the new Marine One helicopter. Originally carrying a hefty price tag of $6 billion, the fleet of 28 helicopters being built to fly the next president is now projected to cost $11.2 billion. Wait a minute. What? $11 billion for 28 helicopters to fly the president? $400 million apiece? I don't believe this. No helicopter on Earth could cost $400 million. Something's wrong with this picture. So who's making money on this? Customize this. Customize Boeing 747. Blah, blah, blah. Marine One, 30 years old. Several have broken down. Here we go. In 2005, the Pentagon awarded the contract itself a subject. Connecticut-based Sikorsky Aircraft, which had always supplied helicopters to the president, was beaten in the bidding process by Lockheed Martin. Okay. The Maryland-based firm proposed a variation of a European helicopter built by Augusta Westland. So in other words, Lockheed Martin is no longer an American company. This is the same thing as the tanker deal. In other words, someone got schmeared or paid off. In other words, some wonderful senators and congressmen were paid through lobbyists to give the contract to a foreign man. Imagine a foreign manufacturer making Air Force One. Why don't you just give it to the Chinese and let them make it? Why don't you just let the Chinese make our helicopters and our ships? After all, if you guys are so interested in the bottom line on Wall Street, the Chinese can build a ship at a lower price than we can. They have no worker safety standards. There are no benefits for the workers. If they fall into the boiling oil, they die and they don't care. No one gets paid. If they break a hand, they throw them overboard or they harvest their kidneys. So I think that we should possibly consider having our military procure all weapon systems from China, because after all, the wonderful individuals who run our country are so concerned about the bottom line with everything except social programs and social programs for Africa that we really have to cut costs. And I think it makes sense to have either North Korea build our ships or China itself. And I would go a step further. I see no reason to have undisciplined Americans on our ships at all. I think that we should have the excess millions of Chinese men who have nothing to do in China because of the one-child policy. I think that we should temporarily procure Chinese males from mainland China to work in our military, because after all, they work for less. And, you know, if you're a Treasury secretary who came from Goldman Sachs, or you're a real smart, you know, tough-nosed guy from the business world who doesn't believe in a nation's sovereignty, why not have North Korea make our ships and have China man our ships? It makes sense. After all, the bottom line is all that matters, doesn't it? Don't call on this. I'll be back.
Savage.
Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation.
Because you held me tight. Held me tight.
Speeding on the Sunrise Highway or Rockaway Boulevard out to the beach. Play it louder, will you? Let me have a reverie so I can tell a story. Don't fade it out just when I start to think. Who cares about my childhood? Turn it off. I don't care about my childhood. I'm sick of it. I've been working on my stories. I have 50 to 70 stories from radio days for this book. And you know what's starting to depress me? You know, you're supposed to don't look back. Believe me, don't look back. You will turn to a pillar of salt. I think it's starting to cripple me. Like last night, because I'm dwelling so deeply in my past from the stories, I'm listening to the tapes, they're being transcribed, and I'm editing them, getting it ready, blah, blah, blah. It's going to be a knockout of a book, but I'm having dreams like of a deceased uncle who died 30 years ago. He's coming to me in a dream, and he's saying, I'm only 7 years older than you. And I'm waking up saying, how could you be 7 years older than me? You were 30 years older than me. I think what I mean is like in the subconscious, I'm trying to like connect it, which is that I'm only 7 years till he died or something, till his age. Oh, my God. Who wants to think about this? I got to stop this whole past stuff. I really do. Jail doctor's office had party atmosphere. Here's a story out of Tampa. This is an amazing story. The atmosphere in the waiting area of John Mubang's clinic in Sefner was a social event with everyone involved in conversations about how easy it was to get prescriptions. Mubang, 57, the former medical director of Hillsborough County Jails, was arrested and charged with 3 counts of prescribing drugs for monetary gain. Blah, blah, blah. Mubang worked for a private company that provided medical services for county jail inmates from 95 through 04. And Mubang had a contract to provide medical services for juveniles housed in treatment centers operated by Sunshine Youth Services. You ready for this? So, in other words, the very people that you know are running treatment centers are actually dealing drugs, by and large, to a high percentile. You know that it's like the pig guy who said that I sell everything but the squeal. You sell them drugs, then when they get caught, you put them in treatment, then you run the treatment centers and you sell them drugs on the outside, and boom and fung, move on. I don't know how the police can keep up with this. It's like the meltdown of Rome here. Everywhere you turn, something's rotten in Glacamora here. Four undercover sheriff detective visited Mubang 9 times, paying $110 cash for each visit and receiving narcotics prescription with no medical proof of need. Oh, boy. One time, Mubang asked the detective why he was taking Xanax. You seem very calm, Mubang was quoted saying. The detective answered, I like them, according to the affidavit. Dr. Mubang then handed the so-called detective number 2 his refills and said, I'll see you next month. One time, an undercover detective waiting in the office lobby had a conversation with a patient who told the detective he would sell her some of his Roxycodone when he got them from Mubang. Two detectives, blah, 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 undercover. I don't know how they do this. I didn't even know we still had detectives who do drug work anymore. I thought it was legal. Wink, wink, because of the ACLU and inside the people inside the business, that it was all legal. Wink, wink. Have you heard about the war on drugs? Are they still arresting people for this stuff? When did we? I had no idea they're still risking their lives with this. I thought it was like over or not over. I we're on a war on terror. I know that. And we have a Department of Homeland Security. I know that. I mean, I see their trucks in San Francisco not going anywhere outside their building. It says ICE, Department of Immigration Enforcement. And I walk around. They're sitting there empty. They're not in it. How come they're not deporting? If I had those trucks and buses that Homeland Security had in ICE, I could run them from now until the year 2050 with the number of illegals who don't. Just start with the 30% of illegal aliens who are in prison for a felony. Let's start with that. Never mind. I don't want people off the street. Leave them alone. Let's start with the 1 out of 3 prisoners who are here illegally who are in prison for having committed multiple felonies and have been caught on one. Deport them. Send them back. Put a tag on them or something so they can't come back in. You know, people have tags now. You can tag them some way. I don't know how. Some legal way. Can you tag them? They come in like an alarm goes off, a burglar alarm, an illegal alien alarm. Can we set up an illegal alien alarm of some sort for felons, for, you know, felonious illegal aliens? Why does Homeland Security have all these trucks? Why not use all of those house trailers that FEMA had that were sitting in Louisiana that did nothing and fill them up with illegal alien felons and send them south? They could even keep the trailer once it gets there because they're gas hogs. They could even you keep the trailer. You send back 16 per trailer, and they get to keep the trailer. They can live in it when they get home. That way you're not being inhumane. Nah, not a good idea. How about oil for illegals? Does that work for you? How about Iraq paying its debt to us through oil? Not a bad idea. How come you don't hear it from Nancy Pelosi? Did you hear her mumbling and stumbling today? Play Nancy Pelosi. Listen to this one. Go ahead.
I disapprove of Congress's performance in terms of ending the war. We, in the House, of course, have
now,
over
listen
and
to
over
her lie. Listen to her. She brought Congress to the lowest ratings in history. Stop it. The housewife brought the ratings of Congress to the lowest in history. So she has the nerve to get up and say, I also disapprove of Congress's ratings with regard to the war. She's trying to parse it and say it's because of the war that we rate Congress low. is not because of Congress in general. It's only the war issue. But again, does she think someone is believing a word of it? I guess she does, because someone told her that if she gives a smart speech which says that and gets on top of the low approval ratings of Congress by saying it's about the war, suddenly somehow people believe her. Now, don't these people talk to real people? Because the reason Congress's ratings are so low have very little to do with the war. It has to do with other things like corruption and war profiteering.
Savage.
You train! Yeah, get along there!
Clippity-clapping over hill and lane. Seems as how they never stop.
Oh, I never liked Frankie Lane. Could you please turn it off? Thank you. 1-800-449-8255. All right, we'll go to the callers now on the Savage Nation. You know where I am philosophically and politically, and you certainly don't agree with everything I say, and I understand that certain things I say offend people for obvious reasons. You know, it depends upon whose ox is being gored and why and what they have at stake and what's personally involved. And there are so many issues. You can't please all the people all the time, but you can try to please yourself all of the time. Because I believe in the adage, to thine own self be true. Now, I don't know when it became illegal to be a skeptic, but apparently it's illegal to be a skeptic in America today. For example, anyone who's skeptical of Al Gore's con with global warming, when I started being skeptical of him 2 years ago, because I'm actually trained in science, I was called every name under the sun. And the big guns in the global warming business started to attack anyone who dared attack their theory that all of global warming was induced by man and that we'd all die if we didn't stop it by giving up our life to Al Gore and his carbon machine. But as time went on, more and more scientists came forward and said, wait a minute now. A, the threat is not that great, and B, we're not causing it. In fact, the founder of the Weather Channel has challenged Al Gore to a debate. He won't debate him. In fact, thousands of reputable scientists have now stood up to Al Gore and his machine. And you see a certain movement a little bit teeny away from that global warming hysteria of even a year ago. There are other areas, and I don't want to go into them now, but when you gore someone's ox and you're the first one to do so, you're called every name under the sun. But I was trained in science. I'm skeptical of many claims, including claims about diseases that are tied into drug companies and tied into federal programs. And I think the overdiagnosis of certain diseases is an epidemic unto itself in this country, and it's all tied into treating children, in some cases, for illnesses that don't exist. For example, how many years have I told you? For how many years have I told you that ADD is a faulty diagnosis in a large percent of cases? How many years have I told you that in England, for example, the medical establishment rarely accepts ADD as a diagnostic criteria? In other words, it doesn't exist. It was invented primarily by the drug companies who wanted to sell the dangerous drug called Ritalin to control children. Now, when I said these things, I was called every name under the sun. And, of course, I wrote the book Healing Children Naturally to try to show you alternatives to using drugs. Then I wake up 2 weeks ago and find out that the criminal pediatricians, they're not all like this, but unfortunately their guild, the American Academy of Pediatrics, which is a guild, is now pushing cholesterol-lowering drugs for children as young as 8. There's no science to show that lowering cholesterol to begin with reduces the actual number of heart attacks, let alone death. It lowers cholesterol. They lower cholesterol for sure, but of course there's some liver damage in adults. There's muscular damage in adults. What effect will lowering cholesterol, using anti-cholesterol drugs in children have? Well, they don't know. All that matters is that the American Academy of Pediatrics, so-called, is now pushing more drugs for children. So now when I attack that, I'm called every name under the sun, primarily by the guilds involved in pushing the drugs by increasing people's fears. But I was raised to be a skeptical scientist. In 1982, I wrote a book called The Skeptical Nutritionist, where even though I was trained in the field and have a first-rate degree in the field, I myself wrote a book called The Skeptical Nutritionist, published by Macmillan. It's actually still an excellent book. It's not available, nor am I trying to sell it to you. But what I'm saying is be careful before you let people diagnose your child with an illness. It may not be an illness. It may be a faulty diagnosis. And it may be guilds or doctors or pharmaceutical companies trying to push treatments upon you for your child. And nobody has personally suffered more from a sibling, in my case, my brother, who was born brain damaged. So please, I don't want to hear that I'm insensitive from people who are making these false accusations, because many of them have no children of their own, and they're connected with the homosexual mafia group Media Matters, none of whom have children of their own. They're a fascist homophobe, goes out of their way to misquote me, take me out of context, and try to get me in trouble with people who love me. I stand by my words. Media Matters. And that's it. And that's where I'm going to leave it. Chicago, Illinois. Holly, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I would just like to thank you for bringing what you do to the people that listen. I know tonight you sound like you're, you know, like you were saying, that you don't know how long you can do this. And that you thought.
Well, even Atlas shrugged. You know, there comes a point where you have to put the globe down, let someone else handle it.
I understand. That was a great analogy before. I want you to know just two things. Sometimes I'm driving home from work and I think maybe they're going to come after me because I'm laughing out loud listening to you and I'm all by myself in my car.
I know there are days that I can be extremely sardonic and humorous, and there are days that are just I'm so deadly serious I can't be. The news this week was so depressing. The government is so out of control with its spending and its liberalism that I've reached a point of almost speechlessness.
I know. And
when I wake up and see George Bush has become the biggest liberal in American history, still posing as a Republican, and the Republican Party itself still trying to raise money from people who know and understand what they've done to this country, I'm speechless. Don't you understand? It becomes very difficult to do a political show. But okay, maybe next week I'll be in another, you know, humorous mood. San Francisco, Dan, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. What's on your mind? Dan, are you there? Go ahead. Are you on the Savage Nation? Yes or no?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Michael. I was wondering if you how you feel about this new, you know, I wouldn't get too down on it. I was wondering if you have heard about this, I know you have, a little bit of this new conservatism coming out of Hollywood.
Oh, yeah, where is it? When did I miss it? What movie came out that was conservative?
Well, I know what you mean there, but...
Have you seen the new HBO series that's a bomb called Generation Kill?
No, I haven't.
Well, don't watch it. I would arrest the writers for sedition. See, this is what happens when the fools in the military's public relations department permit low-life scum from Rolling Stone to be embedded with the troops. These hippie bums... These hippie vermin, pot-smoking, verminous, drug-dealing garbage go in with the Marines, and they think they're soldiers, and they come out and they write this garbage about what it was like to be a Marine in Iraq, and all they do is defame our troops with Generation Kill. I watched it for a few minutes here and there. I wanted to smash somebody's television set, mainly my own. I wanted to hang somebody from the nearest overpass, mainly the people who put this together. But what would you expect from the Hollywood Mafia but to put out something like this garbage on HBO? I watched it several different times in a minute here, a minute there, and I couldn't believe how anti-American it was and how defaming it was, defaming it was of our troops. They show a platoon or this and that, and one of them is black, you know, and he says something like, "Well, I guess we got to kill him because the white man's got to rule the world." That's what passes for writing in the HBO series. And they wonder why no one's going to their war movies. Well, if they made one that showed our troops for what they are, guys willing to die for their country, maybe somebody would go to a war movie. If they made a movie that was like the movies I saw when I was a kid, like Audie Murphy and To Hell and Back, where you came out of the movie with your blood pounding, loving your country, where you could almost reach out and want to, you know, wrap yourself in the flag. You didn't know what to do. It was so wonderful to be proud of your nation. Maybe people would go to the movies. But when you get drug addicts from these magazines like Rolling Stone, you know, passe garbage put out by a bisexual psychotics, they get embedded. Now, who would embed a psychotic drugged up maniac from Rolling Stone in the Marines? Why, it would be the same mentality that would persecute Lieutenant Colonel Chassani, a distinguished patriotic American Marine, for having done his job. The same mentality, the enemy within. And when I wrote The Enemy Within, you think I was just talking about the media? The enemy within has penetrated every hall of our government. The enemy is also within the military. The enemy is within the NSA. The enemy is within the CIA. The enemy is within every branch of government. Liberalism is the mental disorder. It is also the enemy of your survival. That is why they would embed a psycho from Rolling Stone with the U.S. Marines and expect them to write a television show or such that is positive and patriotic and something that makes people respect the U.S. Marines. Instead, this is what they get, Generation Kill. In other words, they're all baby killers. Now, the very same psychotic drug addicts like this, who are just so concerned about the poor Islamo-fascist and their human rights, had nothing to say about the release of the baby killer by Israel. It didn't show up in the media. Why, even Wolf Blitzer, he's Jewish, he's from Israel. Even Wolf didn't show you the background of the terrorist released by Israel. They called him a militant. And, of course, Hitler's grandchildren in Reuters called him a militant. And, of course, the feminists in AP called him a militant and left out what he'd actually done. Because that's what you get when you see that the disease called liberalism has permeated and penetrated virtually every aspect of your life. I'll be right back. This is the Savage Nation. Savage. This is the Savage Nation. This song was around when I had my electric blue saddle stitch pants. Turn it off. You know, I told that story once. I'm not going to tell it now. I'm not in the mood. But it's the first story in my new volume, which will be out in October, my childhood radio stories leading up to the present. The electric blue saddle stitched pants. It's going to be great. It's going to be I think it's going to be a book people are going to want to read to their children and that kind of thing. They're going to hear my voice in it. I'm going to tell you that I'm not editing it in any way that makes it look or read like a regular book. I'm trying to maintain as close to the natural voice that you hear on the Savage Nation, syntax and whatnot. And that's it's got a unique thing for a book. Usually books will be edited where the voice is taken out of the book and it sounds like a cookie cutter book. You know, proper English, proper syntax, so-called, and all of the flavor of the individual who told the story is removed. I'm not going to do that. In fact, I'm doing the editing myself specifically so that my voice is still heard. After all, that's what a writer's supposed to do, is make sure you hear his voice. But that's neither here nor there. The stories are in there. And as I say, my target date is October, and I'll let you know more about it. Right now, I think I have 58 stories, 50, I don't know how many. But I'll let you know more about it as the summer goes on. I always work very hard in the summer. August is actually my most productive month of the year. I find that to be a great month for getting things done. You know, I guess it's because it's quiet out there. There's not a lot of demands. But in the radio business, there's no such thing as quiet. It's day and night, 24/7, which is why I chose it. You know, so I like this tension and this high wire act in that regard. The only problem is the news has been so depressing this week that it got to me. Normally, I can handle it. I can deal with it. I can cope with it. I can come up with a cogent response to it or an emotional response or both. This week, the two coffins that came back means that the soldiers were tortured and then killed by the Palestinians, probably just before they were sent back to Israel. And I blame those rotten, disgusting bums who run the country of Israel. I blame those corrupt rats who run that country. I'm so angry at them. I'm livid. You're telling me they didn't know the soldiers were going to be delivered in a coffin? The great Mossad didn't know this? And if they did know it, then why did they trade a living terrorist who cracked open a four-year-old girl's skull on a rock for two dead bodies? Then either they're defeated or they're stupid or both. Either they've lost their edge or it's over. Don't you understand how depressing that is? And the same day, I read Bush with Biden raises the amount of money they're sending to Africa from $15 billion to $48 billion. This is after the economy is in a tailspin. The banks are closing. And Bush is writing a check, him and Biden. And not one word from the conservatives in the conservative movement. There is no conservative movement. It's all fraudulent. You look at the websites that you grew up on in this business 10 years ago and look what they've become, with very rare exception. One is WND. And my website, michaelsavage.com, is linked through WND's pipeline. There's a reason for it. It's because I respect WND and Joe Farah. I can't say that for Newsmax and the others who have gone the way of the middle of the road, the ABC. They become the ABC of websites. And I don't understand why people don't see what's going on. Take a look at Fox News. Compare Fox News today to what it was 5 years ago. You're telling me that Fox News is a conservative outlet? I would disagree with you. It's a Republican outlet. They have Scarface on that network. They have Geraldo Rivera on that network. Their coverage is middle of the road. I don't know how they sell it. I understand what CNN is, and I understand what CNN was. And I will tell you that Fox News today is CNN of 5 years ago. Why? I don't know why. Could it have anything to do with the 90% control by Arab money? I don't know if that's the reason, or it's just they figured out that the middle of the road sells better than either right or left. Whatever it is, it's certainly not a conservative news outlet. So in a way, you know, it's the Atlas story again. How many atlases are there left carrying the globe on their shoulder? And how many of us are going to shrug and let the earth fall off our shoulder? And then who's going to be left? Who's going to be left? The homosexual fascist website Media Matters, picking at everybody who exposes them for who they are? You know, if we had a legitimate government, Stalinist groups like Media Matters would be exposed. We know they get their money from George Soros, the archenemy of our way of life. We also know that Hillary Clinton is deeply tied into the creation of Media Matters. She's on tape saying so. And we understand that they're a threat to freedom of speech. Now, a legitimate government does not permit threats to freedom of speech. They investigate them. They find out where dark forces are operating, and they try to stop the growth of totalitarian fascism, even if it's coming from homosexuals, because nobody should be above the law. Are they doing anything illegal? I'm not sure. Are they? Where does their money come from? I don't know where their money comes from. Is the money funneled correctly to them, illegally to them? Did they have anything to do with CAIR's attack on Michael Savage? Where does CARES money come from? Who funds CAIR? Is there joint funding between CAIR and Media Matters? Is George Soros involved in CARE? Why do they want to put Michael Savage out of business? Why do they attack any conservative in the media? What's there, five left? Three to five left? So these are some of the things that I have to deal with on a daily basis. And I deal with it. But I'll make a commitment to you this way. If for any reason any dark forces do succeed in getting me off the air, I will have the last laugh. That's all I can tell you. I am the Joker. Ultimately, I am Batman, and I'll have the last laugh. And I'll never tell you how, and I'll never tell you where, and I'll never tell you why, and I'll never tell you when. But I can guarantee you I didn't come this far in life to be put out of business by a bunch of little men, little Stalinist men who belong in the ex-Soviet Union. I can guarantee you they're not going to have the last laugh. Batman promises you that. And on that wonderful note of humor and such, I will take your calls. Ingrid in Virginia Beach, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Yes, sir. That same spirit you got, sir, of not giving up is the same spirit Israel has. Do not equate Israel being in death row no more than our country is in death row just because we have morons in Congress. I was in Israel in March of this year, sir. I don't go visiting like la-la-la-la tourists. I was there with the people. I was there
Ingrid, the people may be full of vigor, but when you have corrupt leadership, you'll wind up like the American Indian. Remember, the Native American wanted to fight to the end, but the American Indian leaders were sold out for wampum and booze, and they sold their people down the river. And it's the same thing going on in the West. It's the equivalent of the Native Americans being sold down the river by their former leaders. I don't care how many vigorous warriors there are in Israel. If you have a corrupt, empty suit like Olmert, it doesn't matter how many men are willing to pick up arms. All that matters is that the chief is corrupt. Thanks for the call. And they are a microcosm of this country. Our Indian chiefs, so to speak, have sold this country out for wampum and booze. It's the same exact thing. For a few shiny beads, they've sold off the Chrysler Building. They've sold off our banks, our waterways, our roadways, our security itself.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Savage Nation, here's another little story to make your weekend, to bring a nice warm feeling in your chest about the Iraq War. While they're persecuting Marines who did their job, here's a story for you to think about. Former contractor charged in Iraq fuel theft probe. A former contractor was charged today with making false statements as military investigators probed the apparent theft of nearly $40 million in fuel from a U.S. Army base in Iraq. Lee William Dubois of Lexington, South Carolina, was arrested Friday at Dulles International outside Washington, D.C. In a court affidavit, an Army investigator said Dubois and his conspirators stole 10.5 million gallons of jet and diesel fuel valued at $39.6 million from Camp Liberty in Baghdad. The fuel was allegedly taken between June of 07 and May of 08 and sold on the black market. The affidavit states that Dubois fraudulently obtained access cards that allowed him to tap into the base's fuel tanks. The gas would be hauled away in truck convoys, typically in 30,000-gallon increments. Specifically, Dubois and his conspirators, you get the picture. Dubois served briefly in 07 and 08 as a project representative for Future Services General Trading and Contracting Co., an Iraq contractor based in Kuwait. Now, wait, it gets better. A call to the company's founder, Fuad Zaidan, was not immediately returned Friday. Fuad Zaidan, based in Kuwait. The affidavit indicates that Future Services fired Dubois in March before the Army began its investigation. In other words, they got wind of it and threw the fall guy out. I can guarantee you that the owner of the company doesn't pay a nickel and doesn't pay a spend a minute in jail. The Army's contracting procedures in Iraq have been the subject of harsh criticism from auditors in Congress. Since 05, the Army Criminal Investigation Command has opened 168 investigations related to contract fraud in Iraq, Kuwait, and Afghanistan, a spokesman said last month. Most of those investigations are ongoing. All right. Play a little rock and roll here on this. Former contractor. Okay, you got the picture. Wonderful. So it's not just about liberating Iraqis. It's about liberating Kuwaitis so they can go buy prostitutes in Switzerland. Beyond the sea. Oh, thank God it's Friday. That's all I can say to you. Right now, I feel like a fighter in the 15th round of Yankee Stadium in 110-degree heat. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, but I'm not going down. I'm not even on the ropes. I'm in the 15th round in 110-degree heat in Yankee Stadium. But this is a title fight, and I guarantee I'm going to win it. This is the Savage Nation. MichaelSavage.com is the website. These are the stories that are making me so happy. Kentucky, Mike, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hey, you know what? I gotta tell you this. There's a lot of times I disagree with you, which is fine. We can agree to disagree. I don't have a problem with that. I respect your skepticism 100%. I respect it.
I think skepticism just as satire has become illegal in America. Liberals hate satire. You understand that?
Yeah.
They're very, very thin-skinned when it comes to any kind of criticism. They don't understand that's what the First Amendment's all about. And they don't like skepticism about their ideas. They say that you have to believe in global warming or you are a fascist. You're the equivalent of a Holocaust denier. That's their idea of scientific debate. Well, I didn't know that skepticism became illegal, Mike. Did it become illegal anywhere under the Bush administration that I don't know about?
But not where I'm from. You can be a skeptic as long as you form your views in a great way. And like I said, I don't always agree with you, and that's wonderful. That's what America is all about.
Well, that's right. Look, think about it. Here I am on a station in San Francisco, KNEW. San Francisco is a liberal station, a market. Yet my show is a powerhouse in afternoon drive. Certainly not everyone who listens to the show is a conservative. I would say a good percentage, if not the biggest percentage, are liberals. But the one thing about San Francisco liberals who listen to talk radio is that they want the opposite opinion, an opposing opinion, that's presented by an intelligent man with a high IQ who can back up his statements with facts. Then they'll make up their own mind. That's all I ask, is let people evaluate what I have to say based upon the evidence. That's all I'm asking for. I'm not asking for them to take what I say wholesale.
I'm not a liberal. Nor am I a Democrat, nor am I a Republican.
You could even be a poodle. I don't care, as long as you listen.
Exactly. I do listen. And I've listened to other stations. I don't care to call them. I like your viewpoints. And like I said, we may agree to disagree.
Well, because I'm a national treasure. I'm the only person in the major leagues in talk radio with a higher degree. The others are basically ex-disc jockeys who have pulled the wool over the people's eyes with their malarkey and their blarney and their rhetoric about wrapping themselves in the flag. Thanks for the call. I'm proud of it, and I'm gonna boast about it. If someone could boast about their jet and their golf score, why can't I boast about my education? Is that illegal? So here we are. It's a Friday. There are the notes for the Savage Nation that I haven't read. What's your reaction to Bush setting up a diplomatic office in Iran? Who has done more damage to the United States, Bush or Nancy Pelosi? Should Jesse Jackson be banned from television for using the racist language that he used? What's the worst experience you've had with a doctor misdiagnosing a child? Is the Bush administration crumbling in its last year? Should KBR be kicked out of Iraq and disbanded for the soldiers that it's burned and electrocuted through its faulty electrical work? By the way, I have a great interview coming up with Bob Unruh on the UN criminalizing Christianity. There's only one religion the UN permits, and that is Islam. The religion called Christianity shall not apply in the United Nations. Cincinnati, Kathy, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Michael Savage. I appreciate you taking my call. I want to say that, you know, every issue that you're dealing with, I am so grateful that you are a voice to our nation, because I agree that there's too many conservatives not doing anything about what the decisions are being made in our country.
When have you last heard a so-called conservative talk show host say that Bush is the worst liberal we've ever had in the history of the presidency? In 1 week, George Bush has so tilted the Earth's axis, it's hard to imagine it could get any worse, but it will, I can guarantee you. There's four, five, six big months left. Bush just wrote a check for $48 billion to Africa without the approval of the people. And that phony senator from Delaware, Biden, has the nerve to say, the American people agree with this. How does Biden know that? Let me ask you, my friend, do you agree we should be sending $48 billion to Africa for AIDS?
Absolutely not. I think that
And how did it go from $15 billion to $48
billion? Yeah.
How will the money be spent? Which drug companies are getting the money? Which other organizations are getting the money? When did George Bush ask the American people in times like this whether we should spend $48 billion on AIDS in Africa? You want to spend $48 billion, give every cancer patient, as I said earlier, $100,000 cash. Cash, a cash check from the government for every bona fide cancer patient in America to help defray the cost of their treatment. Why send it to Africa? And the only answer to that question is because it doesn't really go to Africans. It goes to middlemen, and it flows right back here into the hands of the government media, the government agents. That's the absolute truth. And also look at what kind of jobs some of these senators who pushed the bill are going to have for which drug companies after they leave office. We need rock and roll. We need to lighten up a bit. I'll take a break. I'll be right back.
Savage.
We hear how Islam is a peaceful religion, that only a few radicals are giving the religion of peace a bad name. Well, it seems there are a few radicals doing it again, only this time it's within the UN. And they're trying to make it a crime to practice Christianity. Bob Unruh has been following the story and joins us today to talk about it. Bob, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. Thank you very much for having me on again. I appreciate each time.
Well, what is going on here?
Essentially, what the issue is that we have a large component within the United Nations called the Organization of the Islamic Conference, and it's made up of dozens and dozens of Islamic nations, and essentially they want to have their way with the entire world. They have a proposal that's pending that that purports to protect religions from defamation. The only issue with that is it specifically cites Islam for protection and not any other religion. And of course, one of the follow-up problems to that is in the Western world, which is largely Christian, you have a basic conflict between Islam and Christianity. Islam, they're mutually exclusive. For example, Islam says that that Allah has no son. Well, the Bible teaches that God has a son. And so there's some very, very basic conflicts like that that are set up. What this organization of the Islamic Conference wants to do is set up within international law, advocated and run by the United Nations, a protection so that any time I say something, you say something, we write something that can be perceived as damaging or defaming or insulting Islam, that it becomes an international crime.
Is anybody buying into this?
Well, the proposal has actually been around for a couple of years already. It's come up several times. In its latest version, it's been approved by the United Nations Commission on Human Rights, and that's one of the portholes to bringing into the United Nations proposals such as this. What these individual nations, they're following their Islam faith. They are following their religious beliefs in doing this. They believe that Christianity and Judaism and of course a number of other religions are defiled, dirty religions that do not have a right to exist on earth. So therefore what they're doing is pursuing their religion in this, in advocating anything that can crack down on beliefs that are alternative to Islam. And they're doing it in a very heavy-handed way. This particular organization of states is the largest subgroup within the United Nations, and so they are very influential. They're very influential in the world today, and this is the direction that they're going, to be able to say within international law that if you, for example, do a cartoon, like the infamous cartoons of Muhammad, if you do a cartoon like that, not only is that what they would categorize an insult to Islam, under this plan, it would make it an international crime.
Is there anybody speaking out against this in the UN?
Well, there's been no organized opposition to this. The influence of this particular group and their leaders is fairly significant within the United Nations. But the conflict is going to come up in integrating something like this and resolving the differences with Western civilization. And I don't mean just a conservative Christian group in Colorado Springs or anybody like that, but just the entire Western civilization. For example, the award-winning author Mark Stein has been summoned several times to appear before Canadian human rights commissions based on his writings, wherein he questions Islam and its doctrines and its tenets. That's the type of thing that, if you take the idea of banning any criticism of a religious faith to its face value, then all of a sudden the publication of the Bible could very well be banned. Possession of a Bible could very well be banned because it states in there things that are in conflict with the basic tenets of Islam. Also, anything that would be of integral worth to the faith of Judaism or Hinduism or anything like that. And of course, the largest conflict is between the Christianity and Islam, because there is, you know, people say these days, you know, well, we should just accommodate and get along and things like that. And all paths lead to God, and sort of things like that. If you read the basic tenets of Christianity and Islam, they are mutually exclusive. You really cannot, by accepting the writings even of both, you cannot come to that happy medium. That doesn't exist. Islam specifically states things that are in conflict with Christianity, and Christianity is likewise.
Do you think this is a chance of being passed by the UN?
Well, I'm no expert on the United Nations, but from what I've seen in the precedents that they've already addressed in the various conventions and international statements and protocols and things like that, it's very likely that something like this could reach the final stage of approval in the United Nations. Now, that sets up a huge problem, because what happens if the international law says you cannot have a printed material that is critical of Islam? That, of course, doesn't jive particularly well with the freedoms of the press and the speech and such that we have in the United States. In other situations, the United States, in fact, has not adopted such international precedents, but that this would be very much, in force for areas of the world where they adopt this particular protocol or this particular standard or whatever would eventually result. That raises the question of, is Islam backing Christianity into a corner, and is it going to be at some point in the future where Americans have to really abandon their faith in order to travel around the world?
How do you think this will be accepted worldwide?
Well, there are large parts of the world where this would be readily adopted. For example, in the member nations of this Organization of the Islamic Conference, there are a lot of other parts of the world where the precedents are not so clear as regarding freedom of speech or press or things like that, where something like this could be imposed much more readily than it would go across in the United States. But during my research of the issue, I ran across a commentator on the internet, and he had a real interesting perspective. He only uses about a dozen words to describe it, but this is how he put it. And he said, this type of issue being presented to the United Nations, where there is such a pro-Islamic bent already, he says it's like 160 cannibals and 17 civilized people taking a majority vote on what to have for dinner. There is a large influence in the United Nations that would readily accept, readily adopt, readily enforce this type of a proposal.
Savage. Daniel J. Flynn, author of Why the Left Hates America and A Conservative History of the American Left. Boy, does he have them pegged. He is back with us today to talk about an article he wrote on the top 10 skeletons in the left's closet. Daniel Flynn, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael, thanks for having me on.
Tell us a little about this list.
Sure. I thought it would be a good idea to put together a quick, easy top 10 list of the skeletons in the left closet. I mean, this is really the history that the left doesn't want you to know about. And so you can go back hundreds of years, or you can even go back in recent times and find a lot of examples of history that the left has, you know, successfully whitewashed. A recent example would be with regard to the spread of AIDS. I mean, if you talk to a leftist, they will say that Ronald Reagan, for being relatively silent about AIDS, or the Catholic clergy for not supporting condom giveaways, that these are the people who are responsible for AIDS in the 1980s. But, you know, the history is a lot more complicated than that. You know, in the mid-1980s, the National Gay Task Force and the Lambda Legal Defense Group sued the federal government to stop the AIDS test. I mean, that you can't think of a more effective tool in the fight against AIDS and actually having a test to tell you whether you have AIDS or not. And the gay activists were suing to stop this, similar to what they were doing in San Francisco and other cities, where they were protesting to stop the closure of bathhouses, the incubators of the AIDS virus. Actually, in San Francisco, they were, you know, wearing demonstrators wearing towels, chanting "out of the baths into the ovens," acting as if closing down the bathhouses were ovens, comparing it to Nazi Germany. So this is number eight on my list of top 10 skeletons in the closet that gay activists actually sued to block the AIDS test, and in New York City succeeded in getting a citywide ban of the AIDS test.
You bring up Iran and the Ayatollah Khomeini on this list.
Yeah, number 10 on the top 10 list is the leftist hero Ayatollah Khomeini, and this would strike a lot of your listeners as strange now that the left actually admired someone crazy like the Ayatollah Khomeini. But if you go back and read the back issues of The Nation, they were praising the Iranian Revolution. Michael Foucault had a petition out and was praising the Ayatollah Khomeini, thought he was a radical hero. Mother Jones magazine in 1979, they said if Khomeini or his followers take power, they predicted that, quote, democratic reforms, freedom for political prisoners, an end to an astronomical waste of huge arms purchases, and a constitutional government, end quote, would follow. They couldn't have been more wrong. I mean, this is something that the left doesn't want you to know about, that they supported the Iranian Revolution. They supported the Ayatollah Khomeini. Nowadays, they'll tell you that these guys were reactionaries and right-wingers, but that wasn't their story 30 years ago.
Charles Manson is on the list?
Sure. I think one of the most disturbing and embarrassing aspects of the recent history of the American left is the love affair with Charles Manson that many on the extreme left had. So a guy like Jerry Rubin, who was the hippie guru who sort of merged hippiedom with the new left in the 1960s, he said, "I fell in love with Charlie Manson the first time I saw his cherub face and sparkling eyes on TV. His words and courage inspired us." If you went through some of the underground newspapers on the left in the 1960s and 70s, they would have cartoons lionizing Manson. Weather Woman extraordinaire, Bernardine Dorn, sort of the sex symbol of the new left. She got up in front of a weatherman gathering in Flint, Michigan. She said, "Dig it. First they killed those pigs, then they ate dinner in the same room with them. They even shoved a fork into the victim's stomach. Wild." And this was part and parcel of the weatherman's shtick of glorifying Manson. They hosted a banner up, Charles Manson Power. One of the weatherman's cells nicknamed themselves the Fork. They even adopted a spread-fingered greeting to symbolize the fork that the Manson family shoved in one of the victim's stomach. And this is obviously information that Bernardine Dorn, friend of Barack Obama, people like this, they don't want you to know about this now, but it's there, it's a fact, it doesn't go away.
Presidential assassinations are in their closet?
Something so obvious as the assassination of U.S. presidents. We've had four presidents assassinated. Three of the four were assassinated by communists, and this would include Charles Guiteau, who assassinated James A. Garfield. He lived for 5.5 years. At the Oneida community, a Bible communist community where they shared possessions and they also shared wives. The assassin of William McKinley was an anarcho-communist, a follower of Emma Goldman. And, of course, Lee Harvey Oswald, who assassinated John F. Kennedy, lived in the Soviet Union, was a Soviet-style communist who had this fetish for Fidel Castro. And so what the left does, rather than own up to this history, is that they invent a new history. They act as if, you know, agent provocateurs or, some grand government conspiracy actually killed these presidents rather than the left. And that's why, 45 years after the fact, you have the proliferation of Kennedy conspiracy theories, as if, like, a bunch of John Birch Society members or right-wingers down in Dallas killed the president rather than a communist. And it's not just the people who were successful. I mean, you look at the attempted assassinations on Gerald Ford in 1975. Well, one of them was by a woman, this crackpot woman who was a camp follower of the Symbionese Liberation Army. And the other was a Manson family member, Squeaky Frome, who said that she tried to, she pulled out the gun on Jerry Ford because she wanted to bring attention to environmentalism. And so it's not just these three communists who killed the president, but a lot of the attempted assassinations on American presidents have been committed by leftists as well.
So what's the number one skeleton in the closet of the American left?
The number one skeleton in the left closet is the Nazi-Soviet pact and the left's reaction to it. And so before Hitler and Stalin were friends, the left, you know, they had in Hollywood, for instance, they had a group called the Hollywood Anti-Nazi League. Well, when Hitler and Stalin signed the pact, the Hollywood Anti-Nazi League went out of business. It was no more. The New Masses, which was a big publication of the communists, they railed against a play called Watch on the Rhine. It was anti-Nazi by Lillian Hellman. And when it became a film and Hitler and Stalin were no longer friends, they praised it. They thought it was great. And so there's so much hypocrisy that you see during the Hitler-Stalin pact, including, you know, the head of the Communist Party, Earl Browder. I mean, he went to jail opposing conscription in World War One. And in World War Two, when the Soviet Union wanted as much help as they could get from the United States, he supported conscription. Before, during the Nazi-Soviet pact, when he wanted the U.S. to stay out of war, the communists were encouraging CIO unions to strike in defense-related plants. But after, when the Soviets became our friends and not the Nazis' friends, well, they wanted union members to sign a no-strike pledge. There was so much hypocrisy regarding that brief period when the Soviet Union and the Nazis were friends, that's something that the left certainly doesn't want people to seize upon or even to look at.
Well, I'm not shocked, but their hypocrisy lives on.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of examples of left-wing hypocrisy. I think certainly the continuity that you see with the environmental movement and what they don't want you to know about with regard to the environmental movement is before global warming, there has always been a faddish cause of the era. So in the late 1960s, Paul Ehrlich, in his book The Population Bomb, said that overpopulation was going to kill a lot of us, that in the 1970s, hundreds of millions of people would starve to death and that there was nothing we can do about it. Well, the 1970s came and went, and hundreds of millions of people did not starve to death. And so they moved on to other scare stories to frighten us into accepting a whole set of left-wing policies that really has nothing to do with population or the rainforest or global warming or the ozone layer or whatever the scare story is paying dividends at the moment. And so right now, obviously, global warming is what's being pushed by people like Al Gore. I suspect 10 to 15 years from now, the pattern will hold, and it won't be global warming, but some new scare story, because that's what's gone on in the last 50 years, whether it's DDT, overpopulation, nuclear winter, the rainforest, or now global warming. The left always has a scare story, and they don't want you to know about the history of these past scare stories that have been hoaxes.
Daniel Flynn, thanks for being with us on the Savage Nation.
Hey, thanks for having me, Michael.
Savage.
Who, for whatever reason, refuse to do their part in such times must either be persuaded to join the effort or asked to step aside. This
wait a
is
minute,
such
wait a minute. You mean anyone who debates Al Gore should be forced to step aside? Why not imprison Al? I think that anyone who doubts your con, your carbon dioxide con, your global warming con, I think that they should be put into re-education camps, Al, because you invented the internet. You were the story, your love story was written about you and Tipper. And now you're such a genius and so ahead of everyone in humanity that you don't even need to debate anybody. It may be that there are 10,000 scientists who disagree with you on the global warming hype, but they're all working for the oil company. And I would suspect that I may be working for an oil company. I don't even know it. I could be a sleepwalker, Al, and I could be receiving money from an oil company that I don't know about. Because anybody who disagrees with you has to be corrupt. Now, it is true that your father, Senator Gore, when he retired from the Senate, went to work for the Occidental Coal Company. That's a fact. And it's also true that you, when you were vice president, privatized the Elk Hills Naval Petroleum Reserves and sold it to the same Occidental Petroleum Company. And it is true that nobody asked anything about that while you were vice president. But I think it's high time that people investigated your dealings with Occidental Petroleum and Occidental Coal while you're vice president, and see if there are any connections to your new game of carbon dioxide and things of that nature. Certainly, skeptics are permitted to exist in America, and they're entitled to ask questions in America, and they're entitled to make people uncomfortable, that's for sure. That's what the First Amendment was for, Al. But to say that you are the only one to hold the truth on this issue is ridiculous. It's actually fascistic, Al, but I would expect nothing less from a diehard liberal like you. Now, of course, Nancy Pelosi, as you well know, in addition to making ravioli, is also an expert on science. Somewhere along the way, she received a degree, probably with Al Sharpton, in climate that I don't know about, but apparently the same institution that granted Al Sharpton a divinity degree must have granted him a degree in climatology. But Nancy Pelosi is also an expert on the climate. Listen to clip 8.
It is a masterful visionary initiative for the future. And it is everything that we do here will be paid for pay as you go. The general thrust of what he is doing is something that is not extreme. It is long overdue. And if our country had made that commitment in this Republican Congress with a Republican president 7.5 years ago, much of it would have an impact on the price at the pump right now.
So in other words, in addition to making pasta fazool and ravioli, she says that Al Gore is correct in saying we can make 100% of our electricity from renewable and carbon-free sources within 10 years. Listen to clip 7. Listen to this insanity.
We need a new start. That is why I'm proposing today a strategic initiative designed to free us from the crises that are holding us down and to regain control of our own destiny. It's not the only thing we need to do, but this strategic challenge is the linchpin of a bold new strategy needed to repower America. So today, I challenge our nation to commit to producing 100% of our electricity from renewable energy and truly clean carbon-free sources within 10 years.
Yay! And cure cancer and polio and multiple sclerosis and arthritis and heart attacks and cancer. So Al Gore should be running the Lord's Cathedral, but apparently the fools believe everything he says. Oh, we'd love to have 100% of our electricity from renewable and carbon-free sources within 10 years. And I would say nuclear would be a good way to go, and that could be done within 10 years. Nuclear power plants across America would be a great way to go. It's how they do it in green France. In fact, all of these green nations derive a lot of their electricity from nuclear power plants. I don't know why we don't. Well, I do know why. It's because of people like Al Gore who have opposed nuclear power plants. Now, why would a man who wants us to get off fossil fuels oppose nuclear power plants? The answer is because you can't make any money in nuclear power if you're in the coal business and the carbon business. So if you're in the coal business first and then you're in the carbon credits business next, you can't make any money from the nuclear business. So what you do is you oppose the nuclear business and you push the carbon-free business because that's the man who robbed the bank, and they said to Willie Sutton, why did you rob banks? He said, because that's where the money is. And if you find out where the money is, and it's in carbon-free this and carbon-free that. Now, what these fools don't know is that carbon dioxide is actually good for the planet. In fact, without carbon dioxide, you would die. You wouldn't be sitting here. You need carbon dioxide. Now, why do we need carbon dioxide? Because the more carbon dioxide there is, the more plant life there is. And the day carbon dioxide stops being generated by all sources, we would die. Of course, we generate carbon dioxide, as you well know. You may know that. I doubt that if you put Al Sharpton on the spot and said, do we breathe in carbon dioxide or if you said to Al Sharpton, do we breathe in or breathe out carbon dioxide, he'd be stumped. I can guarantee you he'd need a teleprompter to answer that. But that didn't stop Al Gore from hiring for his climate control commission ads, along with Pat Robertson, the other great scientist in climatology. They're a great team, by the way. But as I say, if all carbon dioxide that was generated on the earth stopped, the plants would die. We'd have no food and we'd be dead. And so we need carbon dioxide. Thank God we exhale carbon dioxide. But it's not the only source of carbon dioxide. There are many other sources of carbon dioxide. And the more carbon dioxide, the more plant life. And of course, the more warming, the more plant life. Did you know that? Now, what does Al Gore actually want to see? An ice age descend upon the earth again? Are you aware of the fact that in the last million years, There have been 10 ice ages on the planet? Approximately every 100,000 years, ice sheets have descended across most of the globe, wiping out most life. And that our civilization as we know it, all of civilization as we know it, is the product of a long interglacial period that we're living through. We're living through a long – that. See, when I pick a peach from my tree on my orchard, I actually say with a smile as I ate the peach last night, thank God that we've been living through global warming for all these millennia. because had we not been living through global warming through all these millennia, our civilization wouldn't be here. So now we have this hoax, this con artist, Al Gore, telling us that what, we should worship glaciers and we should pray for glaciers and we should pray for the reversal of this good fortune. We should end global warming and introduce global cooling. This guy is a whack job. Now, I don't mind debating him. Of course, he won't even debate the founder of the Weather Channel. I had on the Savage Nation the president of the Czech Republic over a year ago. The president of the Republic of Czechoslovakia is a literate scientist with a real doctorate. He offered to debate Al Gore. Al Gore will debate nobody except the uneducated pot smokers in the media. Why? Because he can't support his arguments. That's why. He cannot support his arguments. And then he gets the housewife, Nancy Pelosi, who in between baking ravioli and making pasta fazool, comes out and says that Al Gore has a masterful visionary plan. And then she comes out and she says things that President Bush is a total failure. He has zero credibility. Now, her ratings are lower than his. Listen to clip 10 now, not 9. Listen to 10.
God bless him. Bless his heart. President of the United States, a total failure, losing all credibility with the American people on the economy, on the war, on energy, you name the subject. And for him to be challenging Congress when we are trying to sweep up after his mess over and over and over again.
All right, Nancy, just cut it out. Nancy, you have zero credibility. You have less than his. You have run Congress into the ground. You have brought Congress to its most shameful low point in its history. George Bush is bad enough, but your party of naysayers is even worse. What have you done about the banking crisis, Nancy? What have you done about Islamofascism, Nancy? What have you done about the drug crisis in this country, Nancy? What have you done about the education crisis in this country, Nancy? What have you done about the attack upon our borders, Nancy? What have you done about our attack upon our sovereignty by foreign sovereign funds, Nancy? You've done nothing. You've done jack, and everybody knows it. And so we're not looking to Congress to save us. We understand that Congress is in sad shape, is a sad shape as well. And we're all very, very anxious over this because we don't know which way to turn. Now, on MichaelSavage.com, I have only 29 seconds to tell you, we have these stories. Arabs buying out collapsing Western banks. And by the way, you say, well, that's good, isn't it? Well, only if you're Rush Limbaugh, who believes in a fake free market. Because the purchase of American banks by foreigners has been blocked in the past by security and political considerations. But when the usher of the Republican Party, the great Rush Limbaugh, tells you that that's a free market, by God, you got to believe the golfer, don't you?
Savage.